option to not draft Josh Allen at five is up there as far as one of John Elway's biggest mistakes as GM, as president of this organization. It's got to be close. I mean, if Paxton Lynch is one of the big ones, that's one of the big issues, then I think that not drafting Josh Allen has got to be top five, if not more so. You'd probably have your franchise quarterback right now. Yes, Colfax.
If we would have been patient enough to give Josh Allen 3 years or whatever to get to where he's at.
Because
you just said he had a 52%
That's very true.
Rating his rookie year.
Well, and there's also the question of can Denver, you know, does Elway have the right people on staff that can help develop quarterbacks? You know, I mean, that's... Buffalo seemed to have the same guy, you know, as Zach was telling us. That does matter. You know, it does matter having somebody that's been with you for that long and you develop, you know, you get to know that person. Just like with any job, the longer you're there, the more comfortable you get with things, the better you probably get with it. Ryan O'Halloran writes in the Denver Post, Buffalo Bills' patient approach with Josh Allen could be model for Broncos and Drew Lock. So that Josh Allen points to Denver saying, all right, last year wasn't a full year. We only had five games with him. This year wasn't really a full year. This was no real offseason or nothing like we've known anyway, no preseason, which preseason would have been very important for Drew Lock this year. To be on the field at the same time as the starters. Because remember, last year, it was Joe Flacco. He was the starter. And then very forgettable, isn't it? Man, it seems like a long time ago since Joe Flacco was on the Denver Broncos roster. Wow. But, I mean, you didn't have that full start, and I think there's something to that. If Drew Lock can check down and maybe learn that he's not going to be... I don't like that he said that, you know, at the beginning of the year. Like, hey, I'm always going to shoot threes. I'm always going to be that guy. There's a reason James Harden hasn't and likely won't win a championship. He's always shooting threes. It's great. It can work out sometimes, but not all the time. Because what happens when you miss? What do you do next? You have to do something else. Well, Harden will get to the rim and get fouled. But he doesn't get the rest of his team involved. You get the point. Now, with Josh Allen, you look at him, and he's just been slowly progressing, not going for the home runs, keeping plays alive. He did have some moments early, and even a couple at the beginning of the season, where he makes some interesting decisions. But more often than not, he's going through his progressions. And that is, you know, I think I asked Zach Stevens on Monday, is it really as simple as we're all making it? That if Drew Lock just doesn't go for the home run all the time and actually goes and looks for his tight ends and looks for the check down, is he going to be that good of a quarterback? Is it that easy? Because I'll tell you, my biggest gripes with Drew Lock, number one, was the fact that he's always going deep. And that's, you know, we asked the question earlier in the season. Is that more Pat Shurmur? Should Shurmur be sitting down with Drew and saying, hey, man, or is that just Drew Lock just going with his gut when he's out there on the field? He sees Jerry Jeudy and he sees KJ Hamler, Tim Patrick, and he just wants to go for it. And if so, if that's his biggest problem, that's fixable. Now, there's the other thing that he seemed to fix. At the beginning of the season, what was he doing? He was snapping, rolling to the right. He was taken off almost immediately. So you cut off half the field. You put your right tackle, which their right tackle was already in a bad spot. You know, you're on your like fourth or fifth guy. So you put that right tackle in a bad position because you're already breaking outside of the pocket. So now those defensive linemen, those linebackers can go right there and contain that side, and the only option you have is to throw across your body or to throw it away. So that was the other issue. It seems like he's kind of corrected that. They've worked on it. So as frustrating as it's been, it does seem like Locke's getting better in some of those key areas, and that should be encouraging. Now, you really do need to see how these next three games go. I mean, if he comes out against Buffalo and you see a Raiders-type performance from, you know, what we saw with Drew Lock and the Broncos against the Raiders, then, yeah, you're kind of, and I know it's the Bills, but you're still, you know, you still want to be able to hang in there. You have to compete. The Broncos are the opposite of the Chargers. I feel like the meat around the quarterback is pretty good. Defensively, even though they're depleted with injuries, defensively, they're not a bad team. They're not elite. They're not top five, but they're pretty good. Offensively, even without Cortland Sutton, you have weapons. Tim Patrick, probably the most underrated wide receiver in the NFL. You know, Jerry Jeudy still has a long way to go, but that speed is, you can't coach it. You can't stop it. Once he gets going, he might be one of those players that's hard to stop. KJ Hamler, I think, has been more the surprise, becoming very reliable for Drew Lock. Noah Fant, I don't know that they use him as well as they should. Offensive line has been a bright spot for Denver. So the meat around Denver, around this quarterback, is pretty good. You look at the Chargers, and they love Justin Herbert. Look what he did last night. But it's the rest of the team is not really there. Austin Eckler's been banged up all year. So Denver should be better than this, folks. This is at the beginning of the season. I know you guys thought I was crazy, and it turns out I was saying 11 wins for this team. I still feel that the defense and the rest of that offense are good enough. I feel like Vic Fangio cost you at least a game or two this year with just not knowing what was going on the field. Timeouts with the Titans. A couple of weird kicking decisions or lack thereof this year. A lot of weird things with Vic Fangio. But most of the demise of Denver this year definitely comes down to the quarterback. As it often does when you look at NFL teams that are bad. Like, Sam Darnold's not great, but the Jets are just bad. Jacksonville Jaguars are bad. They can't find their quarterback, though. They thought it was Gardner. Didn't work out. He's getting another shot. So it is the quarterback. And if you don't have the right quarterback for the job, it really doesn't matter how good your defense is, except for Super Bowl 50. I mean, that, again, you got to realize how rare that was for Denver to win that kind of Super Bowl. It was rare for Tampa Bay to win theirs. It was rare for the Ravens to win. Not a lot of times do teams win based on just a great offense or a defense and a quarterback that you don't really know. And Peyton Manning, we all know that wasn't the Peyton Manning we all grew up watching for 99.9% of his career. So Denver has to make that determination very soon. And my gut tells me, honestly, Colfax, regardless of what happens in these three games, they're probably going to stand pat with this group, with Vic, with Pat, with Drew. Now, there's the other side of me, though. I'll be honest. If next year is truly John Elway's last year, who's a better quarterback tomorrow? Matt Stafford, if you could trade for him, or Drew Lock? Who gives you a better shot to get back into the playoffs? Matt Stafford or Drew Lock? And right now, the answer is Matt Stafford. So, is there a sense of desperation from Elway where he's looking at it going, all right, this was supposed to be the big development year for Drew, and I don't know that he's taken the big enough steps. Do we need to be getting aggressive? And because we all got to try to earn our keep here. I mean, think about that. Drew Lock's success or failures next year could result in a complete makeover for Denver. One player could do that. So if you're the Broncos, are you considering that? Now, again, my gut tells me they're going to just stay the course. They're going to get Cortland Sutton back. They have some big decisions to make with Von Miller. You know, Bryce Callahan will be back, I think. Right? No, I think he only signed a 2-year deal. So we'll see what they do there. Offensively, you should be pretty good next year. Defensively, you got to figure out Justin Simmons. That's a big one. Shelby Harris re-signed. You got to figure that out. There's a lot of big decisions coming up for Denver. All right, 15 minutes after the hour, Colfax, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Cody Rourke of Pro Football Network. Does some great film study surrounding all things Denver. He'll tell us what the tape says. What does the film show Denver about Denver at this stage, and what can they do, if anything, to beat the Buffalo Bills on Saturday afternoon? It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. We'll be right back.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. NoCo Now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Dan Patrick. You're listening to my pal, Brady Hall. Check out the Hall Show on Northern Colorado's football station, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, we're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Thanks for being with us here on the whole show. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst, Broncos insider, and NFL media talent at Pro Football Network. Cody, my friend, happy Friday to you, sir.
Hey, my man, I appreciate you for having me on. It's a little snowy where I'm at. I don't know what it's like right now in Greeley, but yeah, it's kind of chilly.
It's chilly, cloudy. Honestly, they don't let me out of the studio much anymore. I just live here in this cave, but it was a little cloudy. I kind of wondered if we were going to get something like that.
Yeah, no, we got the snow, but you know, luckily, I think everything for Denver kickoff tomorrow against the Bills at 2:30 should be good to go with no bad weather.
Yeah, and hopefully not. And, yeah, well, there's always big question marks surrounding this team. And, you know, whether we're talking about, hey, are they going to have a quarterback this weekend? Or are they going to have a cornerback? There's so many issues with the defensive backs. And now we're saying, hey, what's the kicker situation look like?
Well, yeah, now the Broncos, they'll be going into tomorrow's game against the Bills with Taylor Russellino. He played in the CFL for Montreal, and he also played in the XFL. And he booted in 9 of 10 field goals. His longest was 58. So the Broncos, they don't have any concern as if they have to kick a 50-plus yard field goal. But obviously, it's different when you don't have Brandon McManus because, you know, you see Brandon McManus every single week. And unfortunately, due to COVID protocols, he's not going to be eligible to play.
Oh, man. And that was kind of a shock, right? I mean, seeing that news yesterday, I mean, I didn't even know that was going to be even close to a possibility.
Yeah, so I guess it was because he reported it, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday, he checked in on Tuesday to a hotel, obviously self-quarantine. He's tested negative every single day, by the way. But the NFL's rules, like, if, for example, if the game was on Sunday, he would be able to play. But obviously the Broncos, you know, once again, another position hit by COVID circumstances where they had to bring somebody else in. And, you know, we saw that the quarterback position, now we've seen it with the kicker. And I think every NFL team now is going to invest in a COVID quarterback and a COVID kicker, which I think is a great idea. But what happens if you lose your punter? That, to me, is the most concerning part.
Yeah, no question about it. What do you do in that situation? I mean, my goodness, we thought losing a quarterback. But, yeah, if you don't have a punter, what happens? You just go for it every time, right?
I know. You know, it's one of those things where you wish you could just have your quarterback catch it, roll out, and throw it all the way down the field, but they'll count it as a pass. So that's just one of those unfortunate things. Unless you have a quarterback that can pooch it. I know we've seen Big Ben do it. We've seen Tom Brady do it a few times. But, yeah, it's just the unfortunate nature of the game. But, you know, hopefully the NFL carries over some of these protocols in terms of having reserve guys. And even, like, the active call-ups, you know, even the practice squad, you know, numbers and the ability to protect and call up guys. I hope they carry that into when things actually go back to normal, too. I think it's been a great rule. I think it's been great for NFL teams to be able to have that.
It also gives us a chance to see and hear from guys that you'd never otherwise know. I mean, a chances for all teams in the NFL to kind of help discover a diamond in the rough.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if that were the case, I mean, Denver might not have, you know, found some of these guys that they have. You know, I think when you're able to stash some guys away in your practice squad and you can designate guys to protect them, you can really focus on development. And then being able to call up these guys on game day and be able to send them back without having to release them, I think has been a huge advantage. And I think it's great because then you keep continuity, you keep familiarity around. And I think that's what every team in the NFL needs. And I hope the NFL, you know, strongly considers looking at it.
We're talking to Cody Rourke with Pro Football Network. And, you know, how about the cornerback situation, too? I mean, big test. It's been a big test year all season for Michael O.J. Mudiah. But also Devontae Bosby now will have a heck of an opportunity. It was great seeing Will Parks get back in the mix, kind of playing that. You know, I love the hybrid mix that he can provide. But certainly a huge test with no A.J. Boye, again, with no Bryce Callahan. A big-time test for these young corners.
Yeah, well, and those three cornerbacks you named, those are that's it. You know, they also have Nate Harrison, who they signed off the Ravens practice squad, but he doesn't know the Broncos playbook fully yet. So the Broncos are banking on and hoping that none of the players that are playing cornerback, whether it be Bosby or whether it be Ojemudia, get hurt, because then they would really be in dire straits. And to make matters worse for Denver, Bryce Callahan, he was on IR for 3 weeks. The expectation was he's going to finish the last two games, but Broncos head coach Vic Fangio believes that's not going to happen, that the foot has not healed the way that, you know, he had hoped for. So more than likely, we're not going to see Callahan finish out the 2020 season. So that poses a lot of questions about the Broncos. I mean, I imagine because of that free agency, the NFL draft, quarterbacks can be a position they look at. Just due to the fact that, you know, Duke Dawson is going to have complete full knee reconstruction. Kevin Tolliver is going to have knee surgery as well. You know, the recovery time for that is about 9 to 12 months on average. So, yeah, it just makes matters a little bit worse for Denver.
So, you know, if you were a betting man, would you say something, you know, like the Broncos would probably be looking at a corner in that first round this draft?
Well, I imagine it's probably going to be along the lines of three positions. It's going to be right tackle, linebacker, and cornerback. I feel like those would be the three positions where there's a little bit of traction related to what the Broncos probably need the most. You know, a lot of people want a quarterback. But, you know, to be honest with you, with how things have been going the last 3 weeks with Drew Locke and, you know, in the lineup, I think things are they're going to run it back in 2021.
We're talking to Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and our Broncos insider with Pro Football Network. And let's look at those wide receivers on the other side for the Buffalo Bills. I mean, Josh, we talk a lot about Josh Allen, and rightfully so. I mean, he has been phenomenal, but he has a wonderful supporting cast. Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley. I mean, those wide receivers, those guys are tough, and that is going to be, even if the Broncos were fully healthy at corner, that would still be a gigantic test.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one thing's about Stephon Diggs, and, you know, the Buffalo Bills offense in general, Josh Allen, he's got such a big arm. When you come to altitude, guess what? That ball, it flies even further. So Denver's going to have to protect against the big play. But, you know, the dynamic that Josh Allen has now created, he's evolved a lot as a quarterback in these last 3 years. And when defenses play off coverage, he'll throw the short stuff. I mean, there was a play against the Steelers where he pumped the short route because the receiver hesitated. He got the DB to bite, and then he threw it deep, you know, over the top of the safety and everything else. I mean, it was a beautiful play. So Denver's cornerbacks, they're going to have to rally on the short stuff, but be disciplined enough not to bite on, you know, a hitch route or a double move. And, yeah, I think Denver's going to bring in, you know, a game plan similar to what they did against Kansas City. They'll be the bend-but-don't-break mentality, because I really think it's the only way you can play against Josh Allen right now, because he can hurt you with his legs. He's the second leading rusher on that team, and he's just got the big rocket arm, and they're airing it out, and they're scoring a lot of points this year.
What is it about Josh Allen? You know, we looked at his rookie year, and his completion percentage was rough. He does just seem to get better almost every game. The development with Buffalo and what they've done with Josh Allen. I mean, we loved him in Wyoming. He was great in Wyoming, but, you know, you still wondered, okay, can a Mountain West quarterback transition to the NFL? And we've seen it before, but what is it about Allen's progression? What's changed for him? What's clicked so much? Because now he's in almost an elite status.
Well, I would say continuity with his coaching staff. I mean, he's had the same coaches since he's came in. He's been in the same system since he's came in. And I think that's really, you know, a lot to do with it. You know, he hasn't looked perfect. I mean, there were even times last year when Denver traveled to Buffalo to play them and they lost 20-3. There were times where Josh Allen simply did not look good in that game. He looked very inconsistent. You know, there's a pass that wows you, and then there's a pass that he just completely airmails it 20 yards over the receiver. But this year it seems like he has buckled down a lot more. He has embraced being able to guide to set his feet in the fire. You know, one thing, too, is he's been, you know, ridiculously improved at throwing on the run. I mean, he's got that velocity. So, you know, they always talk about in Denver the mark of Elway, you know, when you get hit with that ball. I mean, Josh Allen has a massive arm, and those receivers are very good. I mean, Cole Beasley's just one of those guys that's been thriving in the system in Buffalo. But, you know, I think for a guy like Josh Allen, having, you know, weapons at receiver, having some continuity in the staff, has allowed him to grow. He's entered every offseason. He's been reading the playbook. He's been going back and seeing what he could do better on film, and he's made those changes. Now, there's still some things, obviously, he's still growing, but right now he's playing pretty elite football right now. I mean, when I look at the top teams in the AFC, I believe that the elite tier is Kansas City, Buffalo, and I think everybody else is a massive step below them.
Wow, isn't that something, too? I mean, we kind of figured Buffalo would be a playoff team, but yeah, it sure feels like they're in that contender status, so the playoffs should be a blast. How about on the offensive side for Denver? Drew Locke last week, we see his best performance. He's checking down. I mean, he looked more like a complete quarterback. But Cody, you tell me, man. I mean, is it that simple with Drew Locke? Is it as simple as, hey, if he just stops going for the home run ball and actually goes through his progressions, he's going to be a great quarterback? Or is there a heck of a lot more to it?
You know, I think it's a combination of all of that. You know, I don't think there's really, you know, one size fits all. But, you know, for Drew, I think one of the biggest things that's going to bode well for him is he's mentioned it too, continuity. I mean, this is a quarterback that has had so much change year in and year out from the collegiate level all the way to the pro level now. But even back in the collegiate level, you know, those are the areas where you hope you have continuity, you have consistency in coaching, because then you can work on some of your traits that's going to protect you and that you can sharpen when you get to the next level. That has not been the case for Drew. So I think that for Denver, they just got to be patient. And like I said, I know Broncos fans don't want to be patient. I know Broncos fans want the instant gratification of, we need a superstar quarterback and we want it now. But guess what? You know, that's not going to be very realistic. I don't think there's any guy that's going to elevate that unless it would be a Trevor Lawrence, which, I'm sorry, folks, Denver is not in the market for, nor are they going to trade to be able to get the first pick. And the Jets would be absolutely stupid if they tried to trade the first pick away. So, you know, for Denver, you got to build. You know, when you pray for rain, you got to deal with the mud, too. And the Broncos, they're going to grind through. I mean, you know, Brady, you see it, too. This is a team in the last month, they have improved offensively. And you can see that there are some special things that can be. And imagine when they get a lot of these guys back healthy. That, to me, I think is going to be an X factor.
Yeah, we were talking about it early, Cody. This team kind of feels like the opposite of what the Chargers are at this stage. It does feel like the Broncos have all the right pieces. That offensive line has blown us all away. They've been they just keep getting better and better every game. I love their weapons at wide receiver, even without Cortland Sutton. The running backs, I mean, Melvin Gordon is coming on big time in the second half. Defensively, you know, you get guys back next year. I don't know if they'll be elite, but they should certainly be one of the, you know, top 10, maybe better than that. So if Drew Locke can really evolve, are we talking about a Broncos team that might actually get back into the playoffs next season?
I think it's very possible. I mean, when you look at the NFL's format of adding a seventh team to the mix and having those extra wild card games, absolutely. I think there's definite chance. I mean, when I watch the AFC West, I don't think it's a slouch division. You know, everyone wants to talk about the Chargers' record, but people fail to realize the Chargers have been either ahead in most of these games that they have lost, or they've lost close, and it's really been due to poor team management by the head coach. And Denver's tough. I mean, Las Vegas, they're very tough. I mean, look at Mariota coming in and almost running that system very well in comparison to Derek Carr, which Derek Carr's been having a great year this year. So, I just think the AFC West is tough in general, and I think until you are at a point where you can compete to win the AFC West from Kansas City, you're going to have to compete for a wild card. That's the goal. You know, I think every team wants to compete for the division, but it's tough when you have Kansas City in your division altogether.
Yeah, well, it should be interesting. And, hey, the Broncos are still kind of alive in this whole thing. They need everything to go right this weekend, including a Baltimore loss and somehow win over Buffalo. But, hey, stranger things have happened.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, Denver still has a chance, which is crazy. All things considered, they still have a chance. If they win out, which I do think that they can win out. I mean, when I look at the Chargers and the Raiders game, I think that Denver is a much better team than the last time they played those two teams. And there is a chance that they can win these next three games. And look, Buffalo's going to be a grinded-out slugfest. But I think if Denver can play good defense, I think if they can play a resemblance of the offense they've been playing the last few weeks, I think they've got a big shot at being the upset spoils to the Bills tomorrow.
Wow, wouldn't that be something? And again, this could be one of those moments where if Drew Locke performs well and you somehow, some way upset a great football team, I mean, the story, man, the narrative completely changes around Drew Locke and the rest of this Broncos team.
Yeah, it really does. And I think that, like I said, you know, I think the thing that people run into is they want to win. They want to win now. They want to go, you know, 16-0. But the reality is where this team has been at has been impressive. What they've battled through, what they've overcome, I think has been very admirable in terms of what Vic Fangio and his staff have had to deal with, how the players have handled things. This is a team that has overcome so much adversity, losing as many players as they did, the injury on offense and defense, and also due to COVID stuff. They have been able to respond, and they've been competitive. They fought. I mean, this is players I've talked to in that locker room. They have not given up. They still believe in fighting for one another. They're playing for one another. And I think that's the most important thing. They are, you know, you have things to build on. But I think there would be nothing more, impressive, in my opinion, than finishing out winning the last three games of the year.
Yeah, no question about it. Cody, what do you have for us, man, that we can check out with your podcast throughout the day and building up, leading up to the game Saturday afternoon?
Hey, we got Lockdown Broncos every single day. Today's episode is actually the final game preview. What we're looking for, a tell the tape between Buffalo at 10-3 and Denver at 5-8. Plus, the film review channel on Cody Gork NFL on YouTube. We broke down the Carolina Panthers game on the offensive side of the ball. We took a look at Will Parks returning to the defensive side of the ball as well. Plus, we're going to have a recap on the film room this week from the Buffalo Bills game. So, you know, obviously a lot in store for Broncos country.
I love it, man. Cody, appreciate you. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Absolutely, buddy. Thank you so much, my man.
All right, we'll talk to you. Cody Rourke, NFL analyst, Broncos insider, NFL media talent at Pro Football Network. A great, great, great football guy. You know, if you want to get into the X's and O's and the meat of what actually goes down inside of a game, Cody's the guy to follow. Go follow him on Twitter, at Cody Rourke NFL. Cody Rourke, R-O-A-R-K. 34 minutes after the hour. Colfax, let's jump out of here. We'll get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Now, seeing this from Jeff Legwald, ESPN senior writer covering the Denver Broncos, saying that the Broncos have paused practice today. Now, they're quitting practice today. The Broncos canceled their walkthrough Friday after strength and conditioning coach Lauren Landau tested positive for COVID-19. However, the Broncos game Saturday against the Bills is still scheduled to be played, but Landau is now under COVID-19 protocols away from the team. So, Landau did post on Twitter that he feels great with no symptoms. Hurts not being there tomorrow. So, as of right now, the Broncos game still set to go. Colfax, let's preview. Let's look at the matchups this weekend when it comes to the National Football League. A couple of Saturday games to get the party started. Well, you saw, first off, my Thursday night special. You can't trust the Raiders, Colfax. You just can't trust them. They're now 7-7, and that was, oof, ugly. And then Derek Carr goes down. Yeah. Raiders going to lose out in the playoffs because of an abysmal finish to the season. Bills-Broncos, 2:30 Mountain Time. The Buffs are only 5.5-point favorites in this game. The Buffalo Bills, I should say. Did I say the Buffs? I got CU Buffs on my mind. I'm thinking about that Pac-12 championship game that's not going to happen for them. Panthers and Packers going at it. Packers 10-3 looking for win number 11 at this stage. And, I mean, you got to think that, Packers are one of those strong teams in the NFC. They have a good shot, man. They really do. They're trying to perfect everything, get ready for the playoffs. And this should be, they're favored by 8 in this one. Buccaneers and the Falcons. All right. Tampa Bay's 8-5. They're still trying. They're still holding out hope, that they can finish with a higher seed there. But let's face it. The Bucs are in that point, Colfax, where the playoffs are nothing even close to guaranteed for Tom Brady and company. They have a lot of work to do still with a few games going here. They're in as of right now, sitting in that sixth spot. Arizona 7-6 right behind them, but they're holding down the seventh. But Minnesota, that's why that Tampa Bay Minnesota game was huge for the Buccaneers, because they win that game, launches them over the Vikings. But the Vikings are still very much alive. The Bears are still very, very much alive at 6-7. So It's an important weekend yet again as we get to crunch time in the NFL, especially for Tom Brady's Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 49ers and the Cowboys. Cowboys trying to stay alive in that terrible division. Niners are 5-8, and the Cowboys sitting at 4-9. The Niners are 3-point favorites in that game. Lions and Titans. Lions are 9-4. They should be in the playoffs. Well, Derrick Henry is it just needs to average 156 yards per game for these next three. Can he do it to hit 2,000? There's only been a handful of players that have done it. Is Derrick Henry going to get into running back royalty? Well, he's going to need a big one against the Lions over the weekend. Texans and the Colts. And the Colts sitting at 9-4. And they're trying to lock in that playoff spot as well. So getting this one, that knock them up 10-4. And how about that? Phillip Rivers, what a great story there for the Colts. A complete football team there in Indianapolis. Patriots and Dolphins. We're all Patriots fans this weekend. Colfax, you need the Pats to beat the Dolphins. You need the Jags to beat the Ravens. And you need the Broncos to pull off the major upset and beat the Bills. Those three things keep you in the mix. Can it happen? First things first, you got to see the Pats beat the Dolphins. Bears and Vikings play later on, both teams 6-7. Losers done for sure, knocks them out. And the winner has a shot. So we'll see. Seahawks, Washington, Seattle trying to move up and get a better spot in the standings as well. But they're looking good, man. I mean, they're sitting at 9-4. They've got that first wild card spot. So, you know, they've got to be feeling pretty good about their situation at this point. But we'll see. Jaguars, Ravens, again, we're rooting for the Jags. but the Ravens are 13-point favorites in this game. You don't see many spreads like that. Much more than 10 is kind of unheard of. Jets and the Rams going at it. Are the Jets going to lose them all? They're 0-13. They're probably... Here's another one, though. The Rams are favored in this one by 17. When have I seen that, man? That is nuts. I thought the Jags-Ravens spread was crazy. But the Rams are favored by nearly 20 points in this one. Is that one of the biggest spreads you've seen? My goodness. Cardinals and the Eagles. Eagles trying to stay alive in their division. They play on Sunday afternoon. Cardinals are 7-6, and they're in an interesting spot. They are in the final playoff spot in the NFC at this stage, sitting at 7-6. But Minnesota and Chicago right behind them. So if the Cardinals drop this game by chance, could be in trouble. Chiefs and the Saints going at it. That is one of my key games, Colfax. That's a huge game there. Kansas City favored in this one by 3. Drew Brees is a go for this one. So Pat Mahomes, Drew Brees going at it. This should be a lot of fun. That's also Sunday afternoon. Sunday night game, the Browns and the Giants. This is actually a pretty important game. Giants trying to win their division still. They still have a shot. And the Browns just trying to move on up. So the Giants are, like, right now they're in 12th. They're in 12th place in the NFC. They're that far out. But they're only a game behind Washington. So they could go from 12 to 4 in a hurry. They need Washington to lose, and they need to win. And then you look at Cleveland. They're 9-4. They're holding on to that first wild card spot. If they drop this game, though, suddenly things get interesting for them. You know, Colts move up. If the Dolphins win, if the Ravens win, so the Browns can't take their foot off the gas at this stage. Monday Night Football, Steelers, Bengals. Steelers just looking to get back. They lost 2 in a row. They're 11-2. They're rooting for the Saints this week. They could still overtake that number one seed in the NFL. Should be very, very interesting. Or in the AFC playoff race. Should be a fun weekend, man. Looking forward to it. This is my favorite time. You know, when you're watching the playoff. You know, again, it's a lot more interesting, I will admit, with that seventh playoff spot being thrown in. But so many big games. I mean, the Patriots are 6-7. If they beat the Dolphins, you know, they're going to jump up over the Raiders. And then who knows? If the Ravens lose, we're going to have a lot of question marks surrounding. If the Dolphins can just take care of it and win out, then they're going to get into the playoffs. But I wouldn't be shocked if the Patriots pull off the upset in this game. So this should be a lot of fun. Another fun weekend coming up in the NFL. Most importantly, though, Denver, Buffalo, tomorrow afternoon in Denver. Should be a nice day. How do you contain Josh Allen? This guy is, I mean, he's top five in most categories in the NFL. And he's going to be a tough one to take care of. But Stephon Diggs is so good, man. Ranking third in the NFL with 1,100 receiving yards. I don't know how this secondary is going to keep up. I mean, even with Boye and Bryce Callahan, this is going to be a tall order. But you have both of those guys out. So many young guys going to be challenged. I mean, this is a chance for Denver, though. I mean, if you're for young guys, these are those games. Devontae Bosby can come in and make something special happen. Will Parks can come in and make something special happen. I mean, you're going to get yourself some contracts maybe with Denver going forward. You're going to be able to build on that. So big opportunities. That's the, I guess, if you're looking at the silver lining of this, when key players go down or are suspended, this gives you a chance with three games left to do some deep evaluating of guys that might need to be on the roster next year. But they are so depleted at that cornerback position. 47 minutes after the hour, I'll give you my thoughts, my score prediction coming up for Broncos Bills. Don't forget tonight, the UNC Bears men's basketball team, they're back at it. What time is that game tonight? Is that 6 o'clock? 6 o'clock tonight? 6:30? They're going up against Utah State, a Mountain West Conference team, 6:30. So there you go. I mean, Bears are 3-1. Still had that rough game against CU on Monday, trying to still recover from that one, but found a way to beat DU on Wednesday and trying to handle a Mountain West Conference basketball team that's, I think, 1-3. But they've had an interesting non-conference schedule to start, and they've had a lot of canceled games, too. So it'll be interesting, but that's tonight on 1310 KFK, 48 after the hour. We'll be right back to wrap up with closing thoughts. You're listening to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy.
You're listening to The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Hall Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show. Almost done here for the weekend. Ready for a fun weekend of football, really. A lot of conference championship games in college. College basketball's rocking and rolling. And we're only a few days away from the start of the NBA season, too. So, man, I think back, Colfax, to July when we were doing movie reviews on Friday, which was fun. It was a great time. But everything's going on now. Everything's happening. This is absolutely a nutty time. It's great for sports fans, though. So we're happy to be able to talk to you each and every weekday here, 12 to 2, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Where the Broncos can, and again, this game more than any is basically dependent on Drew Lock, on his success rate, because you have a defense in Buffalo. Their secondary ranks 19th. They allow 243 passing yards per game. So this is a big moment. This is a big game for Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Tim Patrick, Noah Fant, and of course, Drew Lock. So if you can take advantage, the Bills are a great team, but specifically really good offensively. And so defense, yeah, they're not a horrible defense. They're kind of a middle-of-the-road defense. But this is where you're going to be able to take advantage. And we're seeing Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay both listed as questionable in this game. So we'll see. I mean, if this game's Sunday, maybe they have a better shot. But that's going to be interesting. If one or both of those guys can't go, still trying to get the feel for both of those guys in the game. Because so far we've either seen them not really gel, or we've seen one guy do great and the other one's just not really producing. And recently it's been Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay, the one not producing. So it'd be nice, get one or two games to get that full effect. We saw that in the first half, I believe, against the Titans. The first game, right, where you saw the 1-2 punch and what it's supposed to look like. So that's going to be big. Closing thoughts, though, on this, on the week that was. This is the kind of game, Colfax. Listen, they still need a lot to go right for playoffs, but this is the kind of game. It's like his Houston game last year. The Houston Texans made it to the playoffs. They were a playoff team, and Denver beat them. Drew Lock had an amazing game against Houston. That was one of those games. That was the game we probably all, as Broncos fans, looked at it and said, maybe Drew Lock's the guy. Lock needs more of those games. And three more left, including a Buffalo Bills game, a marquee matchup. Suddenly you change that narrative, man. I mean, if you come out and you can do a little bit of what you did last week against Carolina, I think that, you know, you're going to change a lot of minds. You're going to make John Elway feel a heck of a lot better about the future, too. And I think it's there. I think Buffalo's a great team. They are definitely an elite team. Denver kind of hung in with the Chiefs, right? I mean, they had their moments. They had their opportunities. They had Patrick Mahomes scared, Colfax. That's right, right? Can they put some fear into a guy like Josh Allen? Defensively, I worry about the secondary. They are so depleted there. This is why you're going to be relying on Drew Lock. You need the offense to produce. You need to score probably 27, 28 points if you're going to win this game. I don't see it happening. I just don't. I think the Bills are that good of a team. They're trying to secure a better playoff spot. I would wager the score is something probably like 27-14 Buffalo. I'll go 17. How about that? We'll give Taylor Russolino a field goal there to get him to 17. That's going to do it for us. Be safe out there, Northern Colorado. Good night, Northern Colorado.